Luke chapter 21, when we begin reading with verse number 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. The Amplified changes that word penury to lack and want. Another translation says poverty. Those words probably all ring a bell with us. But Strong's gives us a different understanding of what that word is. Strong's Concordance tells us that it's out of her deficit. While she had deficits, she cast in her 2 mites. I want to look at this subject this morning, the widow's heart. Father, we need your help this morning. Bless us with an understanding, with your presence, with your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The widow's heart. If we use the word, or words that are translated in the Amplified, lack and want, we probably all would agree with that. We all feel with that. We could even use this other translation, New American Standard. It says poverty. I don't know that there's any of us here this morning that would consider ourselves to be rich. We may get by. We may make it from week to week or paycheck to paycheck. But we all somewhat have a feeling of poverty in relationship to some other people who have seemingly abundance. Then when we look at ourselves in comparison to those that have so much less, we realize that we are, in and of a truth, we are somewhat wealthy. But when we look at the word deficit, it may even speak to us because we have debt, that we have things that we are paying on or that you're paying on. Maybe you've run up a credit card bill or two, or you've gone deeper in on a car that's now worth less than what you owe on it. You feel those deficits. You feel those things that are taking place. But the indication here is that it was more than just that she was living higher than what she needed to, that she ran up some excess bills, that there was a deficit in her life. She was, is it safe to say that she didn't have a husband? Can you read that in that passage, that she didn't have somebody working to supply or provide? She was a widow. That's what it tells us. Doesn't tell us much about her life. Does she have a family? Does she have children that she's caring for? We don't know all of those details. We just know that she is pretty much by herself when it comes to income. If we would look at it like the widow that was in debt to some creditors and didn't know how she was going to make it. Would it be necessary to sell the children? Would it be necessary to do something drastic? We don't know all of these particular details. Jesus just tells us that she is poor, but she has it somewhere within her heart that these 2 mites or God's. The widow's heart. We could look at it and say that the widow's heart is a study into her motives. We don't like to be studied. Our motives, we don't want our motives to be studied, I'm sure. We'd rather keep all of those things secret. We want to keep that hidden away. We want to do things so that it's seen on the outside without having somebody quizzing us on what our motive is. Sometimes we have ulterior motives. We can say amen to that. It's not a trick statement. We do things because of a motive in mind. You go to work for a motive, I think. You have a motive of going to work. You want the paycheck at the end of the pay period. You probably have a motive of coming to church this morning. Now, whether that motive is good or wrong is between you and God. We'll just judge you this morning that your motive of coming to church is good. You want to come because you want to be in God's presence. You come because you want to hear God's voice. You come because you want God's hand in your life this morning on this Lord's Day. I don't know what other motive you would have of coming, but there's some kind of motives people would have of even coming to church. You give in the offering. What is the motive of giving in the offering? What is the motive of so many things? What is the motive? And we find in this story that as we look at the widow's mite, that we would have to begin somewhere. And so our beginning this morning is to look at her sincerity. Can we learn anything from her sincerity? Now, I like the word sincerity because of where it comes from or how it came to us. Maybe you've heard, maybe you've read, you've studied and seen what the original language, where we get our word sincerity. It comes from, I think it's pronounced sincera or sincera. And it has to do with a flaw that is developed within marble or something along that line. And people, in the midst of their sculpting in marbles, they would come to a flaw or they would create a flaw. They would fill up that flaw with wax, trying to fool the customer. But if it was without flaw, then it was sincera or sincera. And we get the word sincere or sincerity. And so we see that sincerity or the sincerity of our heart would be that without flaw, that our motive, our heart, is without flaw. She was sincere. I believe that we can say that she was sincere based on what Jesus said about her. Now, had Jesus not said some of this stuff, I don't know that we could really figure in that she was sincere. But Jesus took her out and showed her as an example that here was somebody that in the midst of her deficit, she gave into the treasury of God. Even though there were all of these wealthy people standing around, they could afford to give and give and give. And yet she, out of the sincerity of her heart, her motive was to give. This belongs to God. She was sincere in her giving. And in her giving, and in the sincerity of her giving, it was an act of worship. She was worshiping God while the others were standing around. I believe that that's in the picture as well, that the others were standing around and they were looking to see if somebody could give more. They were looking for praise of man where she was simply looking for the approval of God. The widow's heart, sincere. You don't have to go very far from that and realize that in her heart, the widow's heart, her motive being sincere, it was coming out of a self-sacrificing spirit. She gave all her living. You know, what do you make of that? What do you make of that? She gave all her living. Well, when you look at the idea that she was indebted, she out of her deficit, or in the midst of her deficit, in order for her to survive, she had a deficit. It wasn't that she had a boat. It wasn't that she had three cars. It wasn't that she had a motorhome. It wasn't that she had all of these excesses. I'm not saying that you can't have a boat, you can't have three cars, you can't have a motorhome. I'm not saying that. But she didn't have any of this. She simply was trying to get by. And yet she still, out of a heart of self-sacrificing, a spirit of self-sacrificing, she gave unto God. it really speaks to us this morning out of our riches. We call ourselves poor, and yet we have so much. We do so much, and we fulfill so much of our desires. We do what we want to do is the bottom line for all of our lives. We spend the money that we want to spend on what we spend it on because we have something within us to say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I... It's not a matter of, well, other people do this and other people do that, so I have the right to do this. It's not what it's all about. It's a heart motive behind everything that we do. The motive here is of self-sacrificing. The motive here is sincerity. I suppose that it's easy for us now to venture into another spot, another portion of her heart, and find within that heart, the motive of her heart is there is a love and a reverence for God and for God's house. That's something for us to consider this morning. I suppose we could go back into 2 Kings and look at the beginning where it was said to be the inauguration of the treasury of God's house. We could probably go back there and look at that this morning. We could look at the idea that Israel was condemned from time to time for their neglect of giving. If we wanted to really be rigid on the subject, we could probably even look at how much we spend on ourselves or on our houses or our homes, our places of dwelling in comparison to what we do for God's house. We could really get into some rigid areas here. We could really get down into some close quarters if we want to. But let's just look at the surface this morning about love and reverence for God and for God's house. How do we treat God? How do we treat God's house? Her thought was, I must needs put in. I must be a contributor. There's something about God and God's house that I am indebted to Him more than I am indebted to my deficit, or whatever it was in her case. That God has done something for me that I have no reason to reject His claims in my life. That I must give Him His just dues. It's a big debate about tithe in our religious culture today. Is it really a New Testament subject or not? And I don't want to talk about tithe. I don't want to get down to the realities of whether or not we should be paying our tithes or giving our tithes and our offerings this morning. But it comes back to the idea of the motive of the heart, the sincerity of the heart, or the love of God, or the reverence of God and His house. You know, we can debate whether it's a New Testament idea or just an Old Testament idea. We can debate beyond that if we come to the conclusion that sure, we need to be doing and paying a tithe or giving a tithe, and then we start to debate, is it on our gross income or our net income, and do I have to give on this and do I have to give on that, and we can just keep debating it on and on and on and never really come to a conclusion because we keep just debating it. You can find an answer for any one of your questions and somewhere in religious books you can find an answer one way or the other. Or you may even read some books that'll give both sides, and in the end they still don't give an answer. Really, it comes down to the motive of the heart. The motive of the, it's where it comes to. The widow's heart was in love with God. Had a reverence for God, and in so doing had the same for God's house. You know, there's a lot of places we hear about it. We even talk about it, that we're losing. We're losing a reverence for God and for God's house. Sometimes we hear preaching about it, and it's easy for us to be preaching about those kinds of things. Let me just thank you that there's so many times I see parents telling their children, wait till you get outside to open that candy. Now, the kids don't always listen to them immediately, but it's part of the training. Mom, why can't I open it in here? Dad, why can't I have my candy in church? You see, it's all the thought of reverencing God's house. So you have to appreciate it. I have to stand back and appreciate it when I see that being carried on and being taught to the children. Wait till you get outside to have that. Her love and reverence for God's house. Her faith in God is seen. It's visible here. We sing the song, I don't know. To me, it's hard to sing the song, Living by Faith. Do you understand? Do you agree? It's hard to sing that because do we really live by faith? At least in faith in God. Do we really trust God for our daily bread? The freezers are full, folks. The cabinets are full. The closets are full. Just moved Janae to Penview. The closets are full. Never seen so many shoes in all my life. It's just a figure of speech, okay? We were talking about these things of moving a child to Bible school. When I went to Bible school 30 years ago, I didn't have anything compared to what we took this past week. Once you get down and look at it, didn't have a computer. I didn't even have a typewriter. I had to pay somebody. That's why I started dating so quick. It was a good thing. Leanne was good at typing my papers. She was inexpensive. Just had to keep dating, you know. There are so many things that are different then from now. And my wife brought up, she said, I wonder what they took to Bible school in the 50s. You know, 30 years before we went. Probably a lot less than what I took. We have a full house this morning. We have so many things at our fingertips. God has blessed us, we say. And yet we're getting things twisted around. Is that meaning that when a person doesn't have full freezers and full cabinets and cupboards and full closets, that God's not blessing them? No, that shouldn't be the criteria to prove whether or not a person is blessed. The criteria goes way beyond that. The criteria is a spiritual blessing. The criteria is an eternal blessing, not the temporal blessings. And we find here in this story of a poor widow who did not have all of these blessings, but from her deficit she gave, and it showed her faith in God, where she could really say, sing with the best, living by faith. It's hard for us sometimes, I suppose, in the midst of this subject to flip over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 6 and read what Jesus has to say for His people. You know, if we read chapter 6, he really comes down right in the middle of our comfortable lives. If you don't agree, then let me just change that and say He really comes down in the midst of my comfortable life. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. Let's move on here. Judge not that ye be... Is he really saying that? Take no thought for the tomorrow. Be not anxious for tomorrow. Don't be concerned about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Things will take care of... We just trust in God. Faith, living by faith. Yeah, I believe that we can find that kind of a subject here in the life or the heart of the widow. She had faith in God. I think I said something about it soon after we were back from Israel last year, that widow's mite, that little mite that they have, really isn't any bigger than that fingernail. Showing the insignificance of the mite. Just something so small, so minute. She had a mere two mites. Now, if you want one of those mites, I think you can still purchase them for $60-some, so they're worth something now. If you want to see one, you might be able to get with Shan Wagner's nephew, and he has one. He went ahead and bought one. Well, he could probably bring it down sometime and let you see it. It's not really much. Just a little bitty thing in a little case. She put in two of these little bitty coins. Living by faith. As we look at this, we see her sincerity. We see her self-sacrificing spirit. We see her love and reverence. We see her faith. We also see her gratitude. Oh boy, you might struggle to find that there, you think, but really, I would say that as Jesus lists her out as an example, that he is using her as an example to show her gratitude. She's a widow, for one. What happened to her husband? Did he die an early death? It's possible. Was he killed in some tragic accident? That's possible. How long did she live in this condition of being a widow? A lot of things here we don't have answers for. But if we just simply look at the circumstances of her being a widow that we do know, based on the things that we know now, she probably had some time, some point in her life, there was some bereavement. Grief. For some people, bereavement is a faith crusher. For some people, the storms of life destroy faith. But she still had a gratitude to where she willingly, out of her deficit, gave for the benefit of God and His kingdom. I say it that way because I want it to be a broad spectrum for us to realize that it's not just simply the point in giving a mite in the offering, but it's giving to God out of gratitude. Maybe she felt it at God's house specifically because she had received a blessing there. Maybe it was in God's house that she had felt comfort. Maybe it was from a direct correlation of God's hand that she had received some kind of testimony of God's presence. We can get again, we don't know all of those things. We don't see those kinds of details. But what we do understand, that we are in the midst of, or that people in the midst of bereavement or in the midst of conflict and problems and pain, there it sometimes can be a faith crusher, a love killer. But her love and her faith and her gratitude shine out. While the Pharisee and his kind looked for the praise of man, they were not concerned about God's approval or God's smile or anything like that. They were looking for the praise from man. We see that this woman was looking for God's approval, God's smile, God to be pleased. Matthew chapter 22 is what her life seems to be the example of. And that's what our life should be the example of. Believe that this is the heart of the widow. As we read the story in Luke 22 or 21, we see very little of what is taking place. But if we pause to meditate on it and see the particulars of her heart, I believe that what we find is the widow's heart is summed up in the words of Jesus Christ as a command to his followers. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus said unto them, or said unto him, verse 37, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There's the summation. There is the picture of the widow's heart. Her motive was to please God. Let's stand together this morning. As we reflect on our own lives, may it bring us to the conclusion that we too love God with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our resources. Everything reflects the love of God as we love Him. Praise God. Aaron Hines, would you dismiss us this morning in prayer?